We are studying the first decan of Aquarius, and it's Pisces Australis. It's
fish from Australia?
No, Australis is a Latin word for southern. So it's southern fish.
Pete, do we have any more of those, or those just?
Oh, yeah, this one's brand new.
Well, I have 20 printed.
Somebody's stealing them.
No,
they're up there. Sorry. Thanks. They were here when I passed them out. Okay. Everybody find Aquarius again. And you see the water is pouring into the fish's mouth. In the ancient star maps, the fish's mouth was wide open. And so Pisces Australis is the first decan for Aquarius. Pegasus is the second one, right above. And then right above that is the swan, Cygna, is the third decan. This whole sign and all the decans I really love.
Yeah.
And as we've been talking about, our celebration of Tabernacles this year is on October 2nd. Actually, it starts the Friday before that, but it's October 1st and 2nd. And it's intimately related to this. And the wild part about how I can't get how all this connects, but the Feast of Tabernacles is the feast of the wedding supper of the Lamb. And it's an 8-day feast. The first 7 days are the feast when everybody's invited, and they represent the 7 days of linear time. And the eighth day is always resurrection. So the eighth day is the first 7 days, everybody's invited. On the eighth day, just a few. And so the eighth day feast is a celebration of the end of time. And that's what Aquarius is about. And it's about the water and about all this stuff. We've talked about why the Christian are... Christians are why Christ called them the fish. Why ichthys is the name for fish. And remember why, Pete? You remember we studied it last week?
Well, I remember that it was represented the bride, and that.
Yeah, but why? Why does a fish represent the bride? You said wow when I explained it.
I said, wow, when you were talking about how the only source of water was going into the fish's mouth from the man. Because the dead, oh yeah, okay.
All right.
Okay, listen, everybody,
this is important.
Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And so when the fish is pulled out of the water, the fish automatically dies. The same as us as believers. When we're pulled out of this human race, we're dead, at least from the human race's standpoint. And so here, our only source of life is coming from from Christ.
The waters.
The living
waters.
That's what he
stood up and declared. He that believeth on me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, life-giving water. The fish would die without that life-giving water. Now, that's not the only reason. We'll see in a minute another reason why the bride and the fish are the same. That seems like just a terrible thing to call a bride fish.
Yes,
slimy fish.
Scaly. Smelly.
Hey, before I forget it, so I won't forget it, they've got this new iPad thing they've come out with.
The what?
The iPad that tabernacle is embedded. It's got the function where they'll be quiet.
Yeah.
Where you can hold it up to the sky, and it'll show you the constellations. It'll put the stars together for you and show you these exact pictures.
Hmm. Why don't you get one of those?
All right, I will.
Well, or you could just drive out to the country a little ways and
just
look
and know what to look for.
Yeah, but you're not going to see it drawn out lots of
ways. But that's the whole point.
You'll actually see the pictures you see on
the
stage.
That's the whole point. After we study this, you can pick them out.
They used to make me so mad. I joined an astronomy club in seventh grade, and I keep looking up there, and I don't see you.
Where are those lines? Where is that
fish? Yeah, there are no little lines that connect the stars. Where are the lines that connect the dots?
Gotta get an iPad.
When we first started studying this, I would go to Arizona a lot then because my mother was still alive. And I just lay out in the desert when there was no moon. And I could pick these guys out. I was so proud of myself that I could find them.
Yeah.
In Australia, it's really different. There's no humidity there either. It's not just desert, but and you can see the Southern Cross, and they're just like that light. You think you can just touch it or something.
Yeah, it's the only, the cross, that's fascinating to me, that of all the signs, the only one that looks like what it is the Southern Cross.
Yeah.
You can't see it from here.
It's our next camping trip. We'll go to the desert and take this, right?
Not all of us are unemployed. Oh, I couldn't resist. I'm sorry. That was a cheap shot.
You gave a layup and you took it.
I'm fully employed, but not
earning. As if he isn't.
All right. Now, some of you weren't here when we went over the basics of the Pisces Australis, so I'm going to do it again. The man Aquarius here represents the risen Christ. You understand that? It's not Christ in the suffering mode. And all the stars, all the signs we've studied thus far have been what's happening to Christ. Now it's Christ and how it benefits his people. And the fish represent his people. So the risen Christ is pouring out the life-giving water into the bride, which is typified by the fish. Now, and you know, this is inseparable. The sign is inseparable from the fish. I mean, you can't possibly separate it. Now, in some of the modern, if you look at a modern star map, instead of the fish down here, it's got one of them has a balloon. The other has a sculptor's apparatus. Another has a microscope or a telescope. I mean, a microscope or a telescope. Another has the Euclidean square, you know, the... The brightest star in the head, it's the star of the first magnitude, is called Fom al-Haut, which means the mouth of a fish. And it's this simple truth from Genesis 3 that the seed of the woman will surely pour life into his bride. And that's what all this is about. Now, what we didn't study last time, the ancient Greeks, the really, really, really ancient, when they were closer to the revelation, that this fish represents Astarte, or Aphrodite, or Venus. She appears in the form of a fish by metamorphizing herself into a fish to escape the advances of the horrible Typhon, to escape the advances of the devil. And this is where Astarte or Venus or Aphrodite, she's called the moon goddess, but she metamorphed herself into a fish so that she would be unattractive to Satan. Now, I want to show you something. Let's go to John 14. What?
I picked it up off my chest as of John 14.
You and Ronnie. You like to use alchemy with the Bible. Turned right to it.
Sharon was really happy at the Bible her mother left her have tabs. She says, I keep up with all the now.
Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it came to pass, that when it come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and has nothing in me. Now, that's a terrible translation of what it says.
Yeah.
The prince of this world cometh, and has no interest in me. Now, why did Satan reject Christ?
Because he was a mewing little farting, diaper pooping baby.
Right. And repeated again at the cross.
Yeah. Weakness,
yeah. Couldn't stand weakness.
The church must metamorphize, whatever that word is, to escape the power of the devil by becoming of no value to him. Every Pentecost, we study the book of Ruth. And in the book of Ruth, the primary theme in the book of Ruth is that there was another redeemer that had the first right of first redemption for Ruth.
Boaz. Boaz.
No, Boaz was the one that wanted to marry her. The other guy's name is Tov, T-O-V, which means good in Hebrew.
Okay, I got that one.
You got that one finally?
That only took me 8 years.
So the rite of first redemption is called the Levirate marriage, and it's huge. So let's go to Ruth.
I did it again.
Next, he's going to start performing magic tricks for us.
I've got that stick. I'm going to turn it into a snake and it's going to bite you in the ass. I do have her phone number, so don't ask for it. I'll leave it. It's on my hand here.
Well, I don't know why. Every time I prayed the last couple of days, she came to mind. So.
Page 309 in our Bibles.
I wish the pages of my Bible would stop sticking together. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. Well, everybody's okay. Chapter 4. This is the chapter 3 is when essentially Boaz betroths Ruth. And then in chapter 4, then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit ye down here. And they all sat down. And he sent unto the kinsman, Naomi, that is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants, and before the elders of my people, if thou will redeem it, redeem it. But if thou will not redeem it, then tell me, that I may know. For there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. At this point, Boaz's heart sank. Then said Boaz, What day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth, the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own heritage, my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now remember why the scriptures say that they cannot marry a Moabite. It doesn't say they cannot marry a Moabitess.
Two letters.
And so the whole mystery of God is contained in these few phrases here, because it's the least understood thing in the Christian church. Because the Christian church, by its great buildings and success and everything else, what they're really doing is they're trying to make themselves acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption, the nearer kinsman. And the nearer kinsman is the God of this world. Do you understand?
Getting dressed up to go for a date with Satan.
Hear me. This is critical. This is why we can't buy into any of the world system. We can't buy. We are transfigured by the renewing of our mind, that we give no breath. We're not conformed to any aspect of the world system. Now, this has to be cemented in your minds. And the stars tell this clearer in many ways than the scriptures do. Anybody have any questions about this? This is so critical. And it's personified now in the way that it never has been, in this massive popularity of the prosperity gospel, and not just in that, but in also the whole dominionist things of Christians taking over the government and involvement in politics, and it's all about making themselves acceptable to the one who has the right. First redemption. Now I promise you, if you say this to some of these people, they'll kill you.
They'll kill you.
Yeah.
You know, they really think that God is God.
But can you hear? Can you? I mean, does anyone here doubt this? Anybody have any questions about it? Okay. Now let's look at what Paul said about all this. Let's first go to 1 Corinthians 4. Well, let's go to 2 Corinthians 4 first. I'm sorry, we're not going to get very far on the stars, but this is so critical. Did I ever tell you that the pages of my Bible stick together?
Several times.
You know what Ronnie said this morning? He said, the reason I stick together, this is when I lick my finger to turn them, I don't wipe my...
That would be a Ronnie thing.
That's probably true, actually.
I've got so many pieces of tape in my Bible.
At least you've got another Bible.
Shut up, Pete.
My future Bible. We can pick up a collection, get you a new one.
I have a brand new one.
He would never use it.
No. Listen, this Bible is perfect for me because everything I know where things are by where they are on the page.
Oh, I see.
Right.
Right. I understand.
And so we looked all over. How do we find it? Because this publisher went out of business.
It's the same exact.
The Bible, my new Bible, is exactly the same as this one. I can't part with this one.
Bible study would be 2 hours instead of one. Lost.
Was that some kind of a slam there?
Yeah. That's just an observation.
Verse 3, chapter 4, verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now comes the Christian life. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not or never in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always burning about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our flesh, in our body. Now, notice, we're bearing about in the body, not our death. We died 2,000 years ago. We are bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. For we which live are always delivered unto death. Always delivered unto death. Always delivered unto death. For Jesus' sake. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. If you believe, you'll speak. If you don't believe, or if you haven't not sure yet, you'll wait until it's worked out. You can't teach someone to speak that which hasn't been made flesh in them. It's just tingling brass.
Jangling.
Tingling isn't the right word there.
It's jangling.
I, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Excuse me. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. For a light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And this is the kicker. While we look not at things that are seen, but things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, eternal. So here's the gospel. You're going to be troubled on every side. You're going to be perplexed. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be cast down. And you're always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel.
Yeah.
And afflicted.
Huh?
And afflicted.
All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians 4.
Is that... I guess it's Ronnie's. I just keep hearing, like, Mickey Mouse or something.
Well, tell Ronnie to turn his television down.
No, is that what it is? I just thought maybe somebody left something in the back. I forgot Ronnie
moved it in there.
Yeah, that's
right. That's what it is. 1 Corinthians 4. Verse 8. He's speaking satirically. Not satirically. Ironically. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 8. Now you are full. Now you are rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And I would to God you did reign, that we also might reign with you. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were, appointed to death. Before you think, well, that was just for those apostles, wait until you hear what he says here. I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were, appointed to death. For we made a spectacle unto the world, and to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked, and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. That's a pretty heavy duty. What, you know what offscouring means? Well, it means you are the waste. You're the waste product of the world.
Well, who's he preaching to there? I mean, he's preaching to us, I guess.
Yeah. To you.
Yeah.
Well, listen now what he says. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you. For as though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you as through the gospel. Wherefore I beseech you, I beg of you, be followers of me. In other words, be followers of that. You don't go running around trying to make yourself the offscouring. You don't run around trying to make yourself hated. You don't run around, but you don't expect anything different. You have no entitlement. You have no right to have anything. That's the mystery of godliness. Because every time you think you have a right, every time you think you have an entitlement, every time you think you deserve, you are making yourself acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption. Nobody here has been doing this last week, have they, Helen?
We wouldn't do that. No, I wouldn't.
What?
I said I never get away with it.
No, but this is a big deal here.
Yeah, it really is.
The implications, as someone once said, are staggering. What are you thinking, Mary?
It's only like, sometimes I've thought about this before, it's like the only way that people could actually see that people, be convinced that people really believe if they go through all this hell on earth. I've got a cramp in my side.
See, you're having sympathy pains.
I guess so. Heavens.
God, we're all getting old.
Spasms. Sorry.
The jerkiest
group. Thank you. The side. She does that every time some teacher asks
her a question. Yeah.
Don't call me.
You've been pierced.
Sorry.
Sorry.
Okay, but you know, if everything was just, well, of course, I don't know if that's right or not.
What is?
If everything was just going perfectly in your life, and you had everything you wanted and no problems, yeah, everybody would think it would be really easy to believe in God.
And they'd say, but here's what these guys say.
This was supposed to be?
I've heard Copeland say it. I've heard Benny Hinn say it. I've heard Fred Price say it. Look at us. We're rich. It shows you what you can be.
Right.
Mm. They're following my faith. Hey, you don't have any faith, you friggin' idiot. You call it, you ever notice something? They call, we have a faith ministry. Well, I ask you for their money. That's not faith.
And they're also saying you never have to be sick a day in your life.
Right.
Well, and that's exactly the opposite of what it says in the scriptures. But the point of it is, I want you to get this thing in your mind and never have it leave, that The thing that your mind wants is to be acceptable to the one who has the right of first redemption. That's what we've all tried. That's what it meant for Egypt when they were all of Egypt. I mean, Israel, while they were in Egypt, they tried to get to the land of Goshen, the best of the best. And a whole group of them succeeded. And they succeeded to such an extent that they became the pharaohs. They were the Hyksos dynasty. There were two exoduses. The first exodus from Egypt, where the rich, when the new pharaoh took over, and they all went to Sparta and Greece and southern France, and the ones that hadn't made it, you and I, there.
Yeah, G4, we did.
I want you to stop trying to make yourself acceptable to the one. It's, first of all, it's just stupid. Second of all, it'll drive you nuts. Third, it from what you know spiritually, it is beyond stupidity.
Anathema.
But yet, it's not taught. This is what bothers me so much. There's a whole bunch of people being led astray, and my heart breaks for them. I mean, God's going to deal with it, but this is why, you know, when I first saw this stuff, when I remember my conversion experience, I said to myself, no one's going to believe this. No one's going to believe this. I wasn't far from wrong. But this Bible is a living, I mean, it's you can't go through and just pick out scriptures and take half scriptures and create a
young bowl of cereal.
Well,
I just realized that Corinthians, that we read, is the same thing Paul is saying in Hebrews about faith. The things that.
Oh, yeah. Let's look at the Hebrews 11 at the end of it.
Yeah.
Just to go to Hebrews
faith
11.
Is the substance of things hoped for.
No.
Evidence is not the same to us, or it starts there.
No, I want to go to the end of Hebrews.
And,
listen, this is.
He wrote to the Corinthians too. Wasn't it him?
Hmm?
Paul wrote Corinthians to the Corinthians.
Well, Paul wrote 1 and 2 Corinthians for sure, but there's a debate of whether he wrote Hebrews.
Hebrews, that's what. So,
in verse 11:35, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, that means sawn in half. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. See, that's what I would like to live in, the cave.
Well, you do. The world looks a lot like a cave.
The spiders.
I love caves. I love living in caves. I don't mind spiders. If we get hungry, you eat them.
Rattlesnakes.
You eat rattlesnakes too. And these all having obtained. Anyway, you get the point. Where did we go wrong? It's just the nature of man, I guess.
At the ball. When the pistol went off.
Anybody usually have some questions, Miss Mary quite contrary. You used to come in with a list of questions.
I know, but I didn't have one this week. I knew all the answers.
Good.
Well, kidding, of course.
Well, you knew the one answer, which is the suffering is for a purpose.
Yeah.
So it's consider suffering strange.
I went from that position, you know, from first going to Northwest Bible Church where we thought, oh, yay, we've found the answer, you know, we've become Christians and now we're going to be rich and prosperous like everybody else and our kids are going to be perfect.
How'd that work out for you?
You know how that worked out for us.
Now, what was that guy's name that famous guy started that place? Ended up on the radio. Was he there then?
Huh?
It was Northwest Bible Church. Isn't that
Gene Getz.
Is that it? Was
I don't
pastor?
Know who started it.
Yeah, Gene Getz.
It was the pastor when you were there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But.
No, Gene Getz and I were good buddies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was on my radio show about once a month.
So what happened to that?
Interrupting Mary's story.
Oh, well, just from going from that to, you know, seeing everything in your life fall apart, starting with your children, you know, that's the hardest of all. And, you know, it's just funny how, as I look back, but you finally begin to realize that all those terrible things are ultimately blessings because they, you know, really do make you see that, you know, it's more of a witness, I guess, if you still believe, if you have all these things happen to you, than if your kids turned out perfect and your life turned out.
The only way the word can be made flesh in you is by suffering.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Megan wrote a long email to Laura at 5 a.m. this morning and said that she's 22 years old, but yet she still hurt a lot when she was here, and that she was always trying to lose weight and have blonde hair and do this and do that, and just made her miserable. And light came on, and she said, that's exactly what you just said. And I've had all these, her baby died, and all kinds of bad things
happened.
It's horrible things. But yet, it turned it around to make her realize how vain it was.
That's great.
And she's the most, what she wrote, I couldn't believe. I mean, I couldn't believe that she could even think it, much less put it on paper. And it really had an impact on Laura, that her daughter seeing the vanity of all this crap that Laura's trying to make her kids perfect, you know. You need to dance, you need to be a cheerleader, you need to do this, you need to do that, and graduate.
So I got interviewed for some deal. I didn't know what it was. It's today.
Today?
Yeah. And they were asking me, well, what's your educational background? I said, I have none. And the woman said, what? And I said,
lived under a bridge for 12 years at the University of Screw You.
No, but it's God must have a total sense of humor.
Yeah. It says that you need no man to teach you spirit.
He had a dumbass talk to. He still has dumbasses talking. All right. I think that's a good place to stop. I don't want to talk anymore. But did anybody have anything else, seriously? Any prayer requests or needs?
I drive all the way over here. I get 45 minutes. That's longer to drive over here than
our Bible study light.
Yeah, Bible study light. The world of light.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mr.
Burnett,
Mr. Martin, if you live what I've taught you tonight,
amen.
It will not be light.
Quantity of minutes.
Quantity, not quality. I was being facetious.
All right.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know, I wonder if churches don't teach this because
nobody would come.
Right, exactly.
They wouldn't show up.
There
would be no tithes. There would be no church.
No. I know a lot of, like my good friend, Dr. Leighton Farrell, who is like the United Methodist Pope almost. He's responsible for this place because he, you know, I was teaching. Highland Park United Methodist Church, and they asked me not to teach one of his underlings, and so I went to him and told him. And he said, Ole, you're right, but you have to have more witnesses. You have to have, you've got the witnesses. I spent an entire day with him going over the theology of the cross. And he was blown away. I mean, he knew it. But he got sucked into the system. And so he said, you can't teach this unless you have another witness. And I said, well, I got the witness of the scriptures. I got the witness internally. The Holy Spirit, what other witnesses? He says, you have to have a body. And that's what my secretary had been telling me. And so that's why Trinity was formed. I would have been happy staying at Highland Park Methodist.
Yeah, there's been a lot of Methodist preachers come down here and talking to him, they go back and quit. They really have. Yeah.
But the point of it is, like I know, like John Hanna is a professor at Dallas Theological Center. He's a good friend. Mm-hmm. And he knows when I teach.
Yeah.
He thinks I'm right. He thinks the rapture crap they're teaching, he said that's just crap. But he teaches church history, so he's not involved in that. So it's just a job. But there's people all over that know it. And there's people always ask me, who else says this? Where else is this taught? My response is always, wherever the church is persecuted, this is taught.
Mm-hmm. Tell this Russian story. It's the
Romanian.
They come in with all the guns
Well, there's a million of them, but
that's a good example of that.
But the whole, back in the 70s, we had this project called Samizdat. And it was where we were receiving information that had been smuggled out of the Soviet Union. And Samizdat is a Russian word that means hidden or privately published. And we were receiving that. And then Bloom and Rutledge and others would put it into a form and send it out as press releases. And somewhat through that, an exchange was made for two Russian spies for this. They call him a Baptist in Russia, but that's just another word. He wasn't a Baptist denomination, but for a Baptist preacher named Georgi Vins. And the Baptist preacher came to America. He was traded for the two spies. And he was a guest speaker at the, it was big news. I mean, it was Russian spies traded for Christian dissident. He spent most of his life in the Gulag. And he was invited to speak to the Southern Baptist Convention. And then Bloom interviewed him after that, and he said he wanted to go back to the Gulag. But
where is he these days?
He died.
No, I mean, Bloom, is he back in New York? Or?
Yeah, he's in New York. I don't have to talk to him every day now. John does.
Do you really?
He's my good friend, but I don't like to talk to him every day. I like to talk to anybody every day.
That's what I heard.
What?
I think we all know that.
I think we can get his room, like a fine round to make like a cave. That would be good. Three-dimensional little hole.
Anybody have any prayer requests?
Well, for Megan, she's the good side is she's seen a lot of things, but it hurts. Hurts her. There's joy in it. The hurt is being turned into joy.
Well, talk to her anytime she wants. That's what Steve Walker does with all his kids. He sends them down here.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I see him every day, and he's on the board.
That's great.
Oh, the Butlers. I don't know if many people know that, but Judy's father.
Yeah. Thank you, Father. thank you for revealing your mystery. Let the word be made flesh. We pray for those that were expressed and those that weren't. We pray that you would hold Helen close to your heart. That your spirit would go before her. She would find a job and have her needs met. Amen. We pray for Gary and Judy and John and Josanna and John Bojo and Angie and Brian, who are abandoning us and going into Havasupai Canyon. Bring them back safely. Amen. We pray this in your name and for your glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen.